Good morning.
President Bush and Vice President Cheney are busy defending themselves against the charge that they deceived the American people about the reasons for going to war in Iraq. Carefully sorting through my Iraq file, I've come up with the following examples of outright deception. Even though American and European intelligence agencies said that the report was false, Cheney continued to talk about the alleged 2001 meeting between 9/11 hijacker Mohammed Atta and an Iraqi agent in Prague. The bipartisan 9/11 Commission reported that there was no collaborative relationship between Saddam Hussein and al-Qaeda, but Bush and Cheney blithely continued to make these charges. Cheney claimed that Osama bin Laden requested terror training from Iraq, but he failed to mention that Saddam's government failed to respond to this request. On February 8, 2003, Bush claimed that an al-Qaeda operative was sent to Iraq for helping in acquiring poisons and gases, but the 9/11 report could find no evidence for this. Even though on June 17, 2004, Defense Secretary Rumsfeld stated that Jordanian Abu Musab al-Sakawi was not al-Qaeda, Bush and Cheney continued to state that he was. Early in 2004, CIA Chief George Tenet told a Senate committee that there was no connection between Zarqawi and Saddam, let alone al-Qaeda. The day after the 9/11 report was released, Cheney claimed that Zarqawi ran a poisons factory in northern Iraq out of Baghdad. But he should have known full well that Zarqawi was not in Baghdad and that this camp was not under Saddam's control. When it was taken over by U.S. troops, captured documents revealed no connection to Baghdad. Zarqawi now heads the main terrorist organization in Iraq because of the turmoil of the U.S. invasion, not because Saddam invited him or Osama sent him there. Up until the beginning of the war, the Bush administration's repeated dire warnings about mushroom clouds over America were widely reported. But a December 2002 report of the International Atomic Energy Agency revealed that Saddam's capacity in this area had been destroyed by UN inspectors. In his 2003 State of the Union speech, Bush reported that according to British intelligence, Saddam was trying to buy uranium from Niger. The Brits have yet to produce any proof, and the documents the U.S. received on this claim were known as forgeries before Bush's speech. With regard to the aluminum tubes that Saddam had ordered, the Bush administration chose to sell the idea that they could be used to centrifuge uranium, even though experts advised that their thickness most likely indicated that they were to be used for rockets. On December 8, 2002, former U.S. Weapons Inspector David Albright appeared on 60 Minutes and stated that the aluminum tubes could not be used to enrich uranium. He concluded that the Bush administration was selectively picking information to bolster a case that the Iraqi nuclear threat was more imminent than it is, and in essence, to scare people. Bush and Cheney sometimes defend themselves by saying that they are privy to information that others don't have. At the same time, they declare that Congress voted for the war on the basis of the same intelligence they had. They obviously cannot have it both ways. We now find that it is most of the information not shared that was contrary to the view that Saddam was a threat to the United States. In the fall of 2002, Bush kept telling us that he wanted to avoid a war in Iraq. But in July 23, 2002, a memo detailing a secret meeting of British officials demonstrates that Bush had no desire to go to the UN or give UN inspectors another chance to disarm Hussein. Here are the crucial passages from this memo. Bush wanted to remove Saddam through military action justified by the conjunction of terrorism and WMDs, but the intelligence and facts were being fixed around the policy. There should be no question that the Bush administration did in fact cook the intelligence on Iraq. The result has been an Iraq in far worse shape than before, the recruitment of new terrorists and insurgents where none existed before, and the unnecessary deaths of 300 Americans and tens of thousands of Iraqis. Some Bush supporters have a mantra that goes something like this: it's better to fight terrorists in Baghdad rather than to fight them in Detroit. During the Cold War, millions of innocent people in the Third World died because both sides chose to fight this war in someone else's country. When will people in distant countries stop dying because of our misguided foreign adventures? Finally, think of how more secure our country would be if the billions spent in Iraq had been used to repair our crumbling infrastructure, protect our ports, search air cargo, and secure our nuclear and chemical plants. This is Nick Geyer, the Palouse Pundit, wishing you a good day.